Hi, McCartney fans, and welcome to a bonus edition episode of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Tom Hunyadi, and as always, I am joined by my cousin, one Mr. David Gargolino. David, hello, greetings, and all that stuff.
What's up, Tom? The shortest time from a finale to a next broadcast. Yeah.
Well, like I said, this is a bonus episode, so I guess it really doesn't count as an episode, but whatever. Today we're going to be talking about my Mecca concert going experience here in Phoenix, Arizona. This was number 3. So I'm catching up a little bit, David. So what, you're at 8, or what was it again for you?
2002, 5, 11, 15, 17, 7.
Seven. Okay, so I got 4 more to go. So who knows if they'll be coming back my way. The tour is winding down. I think it ends in L.A. here in a few days. So it doesn't look like none of the East Coast are going to experience some of the things that I got to experience on this tour. And you David, you're not going to experience any of it anyways. And who knows if you would have went for a 8th time.
Hard to say. I'd probably be in the nosebleeds.
Yeah. So let's see here. The show was September 26th here in Phoenix. And
September,
Was it September? No, actually.
It's June.
Did I write down? Yeah, June. Thank you. Actually, no, what I meant to say was the tickets went on sale in September.
Wow.
Last September of 2018. Because usually he just announces a couple months prior, doesn't he?
Usually.
Or he had in the past,
lately,
right?
Lately, he did.
Yeah. So this was a change of pace here for the Mecca camp. We got to went to the show June 26th. Our good buddy Don Maley from Portland, Oregon, flew down to see this show with me, and finally got to meet him, so that was nice. And Don was wasn't he like the first person that commented on our show and said, you know, that he was
a
fan.
He was our number one fan.
Yeah. But it was great to finally meet Don. I the day of the show, I took him record shopping. I took him to, I think, 6 different record stores. And
I think we have 6 in the metro Detroit area anymore.
Yeah, so he found a few things that he was looking for. So I was glad that I could help him with some of his finds. And that was a good time. So then we went back to my place, waited for the wife to get home, and we had dinner. And then walked to the Talking Stick Arena, where we saw the Shizzo. We got in line about an hour before the show started, maybe an hour and 20 minutes before the show started, because I also wanted to get some shirts. We got in, and the line was already, you know, a mile long for shirts, so we did that first. And we got some shirts, and I got a program for you.
Oh, thank you.
So you're welcome.
So, how did you like this arena compared to the U.S. Airways Center?
Well, David, let me tell you something about the U.S. Airways and Talking Stick Arena. They are the same thing.
So, you know, when they transferred the company name,
Yes, yeah. So I believe it's one of the casinos that we have here, Talking Stick Arena or Resort. They, donated such a large amount of money to US Airways or the people that own the property that they were able to change the name to Talking Stick. So there was no difference this time around.
Where'd you sit compared to the last time?
Well, the last time in 14, I was dead center, all the way in the back.
Okay.
Probably in the upper bleachers and probably 20 rows before the wall, before
Wow.
you can go no further without being outside. This time we were stage left.
Okay.
But we still had a pretty good view. Not complaining at all about the seats. As we got to our seats after getting shirts, the kind of the shitty thing was is as we're walking to our seats, then we see more booths of shirts. And what did they have? They had more shirts. And I was kind of ticked off because there was one shirt that had like an alternate Red Rose Speedway cover with him with his rose in his mouth that I would have loved to have gotten. But because I had to get in line right away to buy shirts, I just picked a couple that they had there. So, anyways, I wasn't gonna buy a third shirt.
Because that would be dropping like $150 at that point, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they were $45, which was I was kind of surprised by. I thought he would maybe just do 35 or 40, but it is McCartney, so. So what happened next? We're in our seats and the DJ's playing. I don't know, just was the DJ because
Chris
I don't think
Holmes?
the DJ so he wasn't doing the doing that when I saw him in 14. I think it was just the music was playing and the scrolls on the
The scroll,
sides
yeah.
were so he did about a half hour's worth, and then we got what I think like another 20 minutes of scrolls going. And I think those were new images on those scrolls too this time around. They were like buildings with pictures throughout his life. So it was kind of neat, but
Yeah, he DJ'd the Detroit shows in 17, but like you were saying in 14, and for me 15 for the Out There tour, it was just I think it was just pre-recorded music to the scrolls, so
Okay.
yeah.
Right. So, what'd you say this DJ's name was?
Chris Holmes, the one that just dropped
Yeah, that's
the latest
okay. Remix for Nothing
remix.
for Free.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, so that's why I was double checking the guy's name because I couldn't remember if that's the guy that was doing the DJing when I saw him the other night. So that was okay. I think the show started probably like 20 minutes after 8. So it was close to starting on time, and he opened with a Hard Day's Night, which I think he started doing last year. I don't think this is new. Maybe I haven't seen the set list for what was this? What did he open with when you saw him
Hard
last
Day's
year?
Night.
Okay, so he has been doing it for a little while then.
Yeah.
But it was the second song that really, really got me excited, and that's the song that I've been wanting him to see him do for a while now, and that's Junior's Farm. So that was gratifying and satisfying and
When
all
did
that.
the horns come in for the show? What song?
Well, David, let me tell you, it was the fourth song right after Can't Buy Me Love. Or the third song, Can't Buy Me Love, then the fourth song was Letting Go, and the horn section went to stage right, and they were in the upper seats mingling with the crowd.
Okay.
And so that's what I guess they've been doing now is like the first time you hear the horns, they're actually part of the audience. So that was exciting, and they were loud and delightful and very exciting. This was probably my favorite part of the show was the horns. And it's kind of I hope if he's going to keep touring, I hope he sticks with the horn, so the
Great.
East Coast.
Ticket prices will go up now.
Oh yeah, well. Well, I hope they went I hope that was what the why the tickets for this show was so expensive was because of the horns.
Did
Anyways,
they play on Got to Get You Into My Life? the horns?
Well, David, let me tell you, because on the fifth song, but yeah, the fifth song got to get you into my life. They did, you know, there was more horns and that was great. Fourth song was Who Cares, which was one of my favorites from Egypt Station. You know, Rusty, it was really, really cool seeing Rusty do the feedback up, you know, in front of the speaker. So that was kind of cool. He pointed out to a member of the audience who was holding a sign that, you know, he was 17 and he gets bullied because he's an old soul. And it sounds like something you would have got teased for. When you were 17.
Still do.
Yeah. Yeah. So while you're sitting
not
there
bullied,
watching,
but, you know, yeah.
Yeah. You know, reruns.
Dragnet. Black,
yeah. While you're watching your favorite black and white TV shows. So that was cool. Like I said, got to get you into my life, and then goes right into Come On To Me, which had the horns as well. And then, you know, that's kind of, then it started kind of getting a little, you know, a little tiring there, but, you know, like before I go started, I mean, it really was a magical night, and, you know, the rest of the show is pretty, you know, basic. And I know a lot of us criticize him for the set list and, you know, his voice, but I gotta tell you, when the show starts, a lot of that just goes out the window, mm-hmm. you know, and you see a lot of people having fun and that's contagious. And, you know, and it's really cool. The family that were sitting next to Nikki and I, they flew down from Denver, and it was their first time seeing Paul live. So wow. It was kind of cool seeing their faces and their joy when, you know, songs that they loved were being played. So that was pretty cool. So then right after Come On To Me, that's when the show started getting a little, you know, you get some I'm Over It songs. So he did Let Me Roll It, which, yeah, exactly, Snortfest. But, you know, he kind of, after Let Me Roll It, you know, then they did the Jimmy Jam, and he kind of extended the story, the Jimmy story, than what he told when I saw him on the 14th, or in 14, sorry. He told a story how he was, what is it called, the vibrator that's on top of the strings there, the little button that you know.
The whammy bar, the ride box.
Yeah, right.
Bigsby style.
Yeah. So he would talk about how he just kept doing that, you know, on and off for minutes at a time. And he was laughing because, you know, they knew that when you do that, your guitar goes out of tune or something like that.
Yeah, I can definitely.
Yeah.
Especially if you're doing it for minutes on end.
Right. So then he went on to tell a story that where, you know, he was calling for Jimmy, or not Jimmy, but Eric Clapton. He was asking if Eric Clapton was in the audience so he can come back up on stage to tune his guitar for him. Mm-hmm. So I don't recall him saying that part when I saw him in 14. So it was all right. Then they get into I've Got a Feeling, which that was the first time I seen him do that song live, which was good because that's always been one of my favorite Beatle tracks. Rusty does the John part and does a pretty good job. Next up was Let Him In. And again, that was another song that I haven't seen him do live, and I was really excited about that. That was great. The horns were in that again. Then he goes into the Bathroom Break song, which is My Valentine. Which, you know, it's a nice song, but, you know, it's kind of sad when you start seeing all these people start leaving, you know.
Is it bad? I'd rather him play Heather just for the variety of the songs. Oh. So, no.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna
do the ex-wife songs, you know, you gotta.
Right, exactly. Yeah. If you're going to acknowledge all wives, then you get, you know, I mean, or two of the wives, yeah. You should at least do Heather so you can acknowledge all three.
I wish she could have done We Can Work It Out for, you know, for Jane. You know?
Oh, yeah. Jane, exactly. Yeah. Or You Won't See Me. Yeah. Then it's funny because, okay, so he starts, you know, before he goes into 1985, he he goes, this is for the Wings fans, you know, which is so just lame because he had all these other great, you know, Wings songs that were actually more members in the band. You know, like,
this is for the Wings fan that just likes Band on the Run as my...
Yeah. It's the Wings fans for when it was just a trio and not a, you know, not a five piece. So you figure like something with like Junior's Farm or Let Him Go or Let Him In, he could have said that. He could have said it for one of those songs, you know, instead of when they were just a three piece. But it's fine, you know. And it was a shorter, you know, he didn't do that long extended piano intro that you hear on Band on the Run. After that, he stayed with the piano. And guess what he did next, David?
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't as bad as when I saw him do it in 14. It definitely...
You know, this is the point we get to, like, it wasn't as bad.
Yeah, and it definitely wasn't as bad as the Saturday Night Live performance, that's for sure. But here's the one thing.
I don't think he played a show the day before, so he might have had...
Right, yeah. So he had a few days. And plus, you know, the band does a good job with their backing vocals to kind of, you know, drown his vocals a little bit. So you really don't notice as much if he's struggling or not because... You know, Rusty and Abe and, you know, and Brian and Wix are doing a pretty good job with the backing vocals to drown some of that out. But, you know, the first couple of verses, I mean, it sounded okay. I know some people said that, it sounded okay, but then went back and listened to on YouTube and they said that's when you really noticed that it sounds shitty, but I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Oh, just kind of going back to your last song about this is for the Wings fans for 1985. Mm-hmm. He said the exact same thing in 2005 for Too Many People, and it's like it wasn't a Wings song that you know. This is one's for the Wings fans. I'm like, you know, they're none the wiser. Go, hey, that's from the Ram, you know, like
right.
So he picks the he picks the oddest song. Said this is for the Wings fans, you know.
So, right. Yeah. Then he did. It goes into the acoustic section. I've Just Seen a Face, which is nice because I don't recall him doing that the other two times that I've seen him, but I didn't really compare. He tells a nice story of In Spite of All the Danger, but again, that's some one of the songs that I'm over it. From Me to You, that was a crowd favorite. Everybody loved when he started jamming to From Me to You. And then, you know, Dance Tonight was fun. Abe was in the background dancing, doing all the kind of, you know, the Pulp Fiction and the Macarena and all that, you know, BS dancing in the background. Then he goes into Love Me Do, which was fine as well. Then he tells a story about, you know, George Martin wanting him to sing the Love Me Do part while John was doing the, you know, the harmonica. Then he gets into, you know, Blackbird Here Today.
So he still does Blackbird, but he drops Yesterday. I feel like Yesterday is
maybe
less
he feels the of story of. I think he just feels the story of Blackbird is so important that he has to keep it in. Right. You know what I mean? Because he tells a story every time.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah. I mean, he always brought Yesterday out as an encore, so he didn't really have a story for Yesterday.
Right. Yeah, that's true. He jumps into Queenie Eye, which he brought back. Lady Madonna, which had the horns in it as well, and that was really cool. Eleanor Rigby again over that one. I really just don't like the arrangement that they do for that.
I'm trying to think. Probably the same arrangement that he did when I last saw him, but yeah, I'm kind of over Eleanor Rigby. I you know, mm-hmm. it's one of his greats, and it never, I don't know, I liked it as a Beatle record, but
yeah, see, I like to see him change that to For No One.
Oh yeah, because he hasn't done that in a while, and I love that one.
Right.
Yeah.
Then he, you know, after that, then he goes into a little speech where he goes, Okay, we know what you guys want to hear, because every time he does, you know, a Beatles track or a Popular Wings track, the whole place lights up with phones. And he goes, then whenever we do a new song, the audience turns into a black hole, which I thought was funny. And he goes, but we don't care. We're going to do them anyways. So, and that's when he started doing Fu You.
What were some of the black hole songs?
Well, not Fu You. I think people really enjoyed that. You know, obviously in My Valentine, because too many people were going to the bathroom. I think In Spite of All the Danger, too. I don't think a lot of people really got into that one because it's just, I don't think, you know, the casual fan knows that.
You know, that was neat seeing that on the 2005 tour, but, like, I didn't see, he has such a catalog. I didn't really need to see that. I mean, I get it. During the acoustic set, you kind of, the hit, he has a little, like, kind of backdrop, kind of makes a little, you know, cozier.
Right.
But, oh, I'm over that song, too. So.
Oh, and newsflash, he did take a small sip of fluid, fluid. During the show.
Good. You're almost 80. You're going to kill your muscles.
Yeah. So I thought Fu You was great. They played the video in the background. They got a great reception when it was all done and said, so hooray for that.
Where's 4 or 5 seconds? Fight. Oh, you lucked out.
Oh, man, yeah, lucked out.
You missed that song altogether.
I think, because in 14 he didn't do it.
I've seen it 3 times since the last time you never saw it, so.
Right. I got lucky. So where was I? Okay, so Mr. Kite again over that. But, you know, something, I really just love that arrangement.
Yeah.
And I can keep hearing that song because I love that song so much. And that, you know, that arrangement that they originally did for the Concert of George is just a great arrangement.
I would love to hear While My Guitar Gently Weeps in place of that after 18 years. But no,
right.
No, I get it. It starts with the uke. Like he had in the beginning, and
right.
It morphs into right. The full band.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know. I guess I'm spoiled. A lot of people are spoiled if you've seen him multiple times. If you've seen him for the first time, yeah, it's great.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the rest of the show is the basic ending to the show. Blah, dia, blah, da, Band on the Run, Back in the USSR.
Still blows my mind. He takes out The Long and Winding Road.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a little bit more vocally challenging, don't you?
But he keeps Maybe I'm Amazed In and Blackbird.
Right. Well, you know, you don't want to have too many vocally challenging songs in that set list, do you?
You know, it sounds like, so since after the 2015 tour, he has gone to a single encore from a two
right.
encore.
True or not, right, exactly. So he ends, you know, he finishes with Let It Be, Live and Let Die, and then Hey Jude. And then goes off the stage, comes back, finishes with Birthday, Sgt. Pepper Reprise, Helter Skelter. Now, I got to tell you, now this Golden Slumbers carry that weight in the end. You know, he's been doing that for a while as well. But I got to tell you, Golden Slumbers really just popped with those horns.
Oh yeah.
You know, with the real deal instead of, you know, Wick. I don't remember, you know, Wick's probably would do that on the keyboards or something like that. But excuse me. But with those horns, that song was just fantastic. And it just really improved the whole set. And then finishes again with, you know, Carry That Weight in the End. So it was a good show. This was probably my favorite time seeing them out of the 3 times. And, it was really cool. It was good. You know, like I said, I mean, we want to shit on his vocals, but you know, when that show starts, it kind of just, you know, you kind of just forget about it. You know, you do notice some spots here and there, but you know, if you're having a good time, you know, I mean, it still sounds 10 times better than Dylan, that's for sure.
Never saw Dylan, from what I've heard from people. Don't bother at this point.
Right, exactly. Right. So, but, if he comes back, I'd gladly see him again. We really don't know how much longer he plans on doing this touring thing. So,
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. You want to, have people that have never seen them see them.
Right.
And there's people that aren't born yet who will probably regret not ever seeing being around to see them. But at the same time, oh, God, 38 song set list for a 77-year-old, which is an amazing feat. But,
Right.
it's a combination of age and just, I think, over touring for the benefit of people's enjoyment that his vocals are just the way they are these days. And yeah,
Right.
it's hard to be critical, but at the same time you can be. I mean, but yeah, but when he's no longer here, you would take any voice of him. So
Correct.
and then
Correct. So, go ahead.
And then I have my own feelings about Ringo Starr's set list these days that aren't vocally challenging, but he just plays to an ensemble of other people. So it's hard to judge his vocals, but I doubt he could ever do a 30 song set list of Ringo Starr songs, even though they don't diverge to
Right.
vocally
I mean,
as
I would,
well.
yeah, I mean, I'd love to see a 20 song, Ringo set list.
Oh yeah, I'll be first in line for that.
But I go to his show on August 26th. So
But
kind of curious to see if he's going to sound any better or any worse than, three
yeah,
years ago.
these two are in our creature of comforts lately, and I get it's a freshen up tour, and I think maybe see a little bit different lighting, stage effects, and I think basically this tour's not much different than the one I saw, other than the newer album songs.
Right.
No, I mean he's in a comfort level. I didn't think Paul would, when he came back in 2002. I didn't think he was gonna. He hadn't toured in 9 years, so maybe this is once in a 5 year, every 5 year thing. So he picked songs thinking, what would he, if he was a fan of himself, would like. And
Right.
yeah, this has been debated, but I'm glad you hadn't seen him in 5 years.
Right,
I
exactly.
wish I could have that luxury to skip in the next and go, I'll see him 5 years down the road. But the moment you say that, he'll be in his early to mid 80s. So
I mean, do you really want to see an 82-year-old Paul McCartney on stage?
that's only 5 years away, man.
Right.
No, I mean it's possible, but I think maybe he's recognizing he needs to lubricate his vocal cords these days, and it's not a
Right.
bad thing. I've seen singers drink hot tea, and
Oh yeah.
but the moment that you're just croaking up there, yeah, that's gonna be. I don't think he'd ever let himself go that far, but. And he hasn't
Right.
shifted a lot of these songs. He did shift for No One in 05 to a different key. The fact that I saw him play for No One was awesome. I didn't care what original key, if it was in, or not. But yeah, and that's why you had the band who are now you get. I mean, the band's always been a great bunch of singers, and you'd hear that in a lot of the background harmonies and the earlier tours and albums. But yeah, they're stepping up because they want to help his help their boss out, and
Exactly.
and I'm not being facetious, that's just it makes it for a stronger vocal set. But yeah, I mean, Chuck Berry wasn't doing this at 77. Jerry Lee Lewis wasn't. He's only a few years older than Paul, but he's not playing 39 songs 40 times a
Right.
year. So
Right.
he has still the youthfulness. And
Yeah, and you got to remember too, a lot of these songs aren't really that long. Like that last, those last three songs really aren't.
yeah, they're a medley, they're part of a medley, so they might be
Exactly.
5 minutes total. But
Right.
He's playing all the instruments fine. You don't have any. You don't have like a ghost bass player in the back playing bass to fill in. He's. I hate to say it, he's not Brian Wilson. Where I think Brian Wilson unfortunately kind of gets carted out there. I don't think he does much musically, and I think they tune down or lower his vocal mic levels. that you don't, you kind of don't want to, you know, even B.B. King at the end was kind of getting senile. So you're not seeing that with Paul. Of course, he's, you know, naturally aging. So there might be a little drop in energy that you compare to, like, older DVDs, but that's, like, almost 20 years ago. So, but he's riffing on the bass, piano, guitar, and yeah. Can remember all the stories he's still telling. So, Yeah, I just think we're just entering a weird period in life. Yeah, and we should appreciate these moments I kind of take for granted lately, to not take for granted, you know, in the next 5 to 10 years. So, yeah, anytime you could see him, I'll never tell anyone not to go.
Right,
it's exactly. It's us diehard wannabe Grateful Dead fans that want a whole, you know, albums played or different songs, and
right.
Yeah, it's a balance. I get it.
Yeah. So yeah, so that was a good time. So fun time was had by all. The wife, my wife is, she used to play sax. She toys with it every once in a while, but she was a saxophone player, so she really enjoyed the horns and seeing the horns. So yeah, to sum it up, that was probably my favorite part. So hopefully he continues using those three gentlemen. Anyways, but David, I also wanted to ask you if you plan on seeing that movie Yesterday.
I'm being coerced. No.
Oh, really?
I'm being asked by, okay, by my buddy, my good buddy Brian, and my wife. So I guess I'll go along with it as a group outing.
Right.
I'm always very cynical when it comes to stuff like that, and maybe I should just take it not so
right.
deep
yeah,
like I that mean, and just go with it. But, you know, I didn't see Across the Universe 12, 13 years ago. I don't care. Like,
I think you should just take this as seeing an episode of The Twilight Zone.
Well, someone said, my buddy said, maybe you said, it was a love letter to the Beatles. And
yeah, perhaps. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really go for these things, but I'm being asked to go, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I thought, like, it was okay. I just hate when something uses the music of the Beatles to sell a product.
No, that's what I get cynical about, and kind of like, you know, with Love, that was a Beatles-sponsored, produced, you know, it wasn't like Vegas took the Beatles, kind of like Elvis, and kind of just characterizes it as this dude that, or like, yeah, like an Elvis or the other dude with the black hair, you know, like, yeah, I kind of, well, your statement right there is kind of my cynical coming out and going, you're just kind of cashing in on, like, the name and
right,
but yeah, I guess I'll, mm-hmm. you know,
right. Yeah, so what do we got coming up? We got some McCartney LPs coming up. We got the McGeer album coming up while we're on break. So I'm sure we'll be talking about those releases when we come back in September or October. Maybe we'll have some information on an Abbey Road box set that we're hoping that's going to be coming soon. And then hopefully London Town and Back to the Egg. Hopefully we'll get some info on that as well.
And that'll be nice. Still quiet in the Lennon camp after another huge Imagine campaign.
Yes. Still quiet in the George camp. You know, it'd be great to get some kind of early takes volume 2.
I don't think so, Tom.
Yeah, with an apology from the Harrison camp for taking so long.
No, you'll get another edition of All Things Must Pass before we get to them.
Yeah, I'm really banking on a Christmas release of 50th anniversary of All Things Must Pass come the end of 2020.
Yeah, probably could happen.
Oh, yeah,
that's how they marketed the 30th.
Yeah, so. Yeah. That's how they get you. Sons of bitches. That's how they get you. Anyways, David, I wanted to, I didn't get an opportunity to thank you for all of your hard work that you do for this show,
I'm
on
the guy
our
behind the curtain.
finale. Yeah, on the
You're the
season
face of the
finale.
show. I'm kind of like the engineer wizard.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, you've got the time consuming part of
Yeah,
it.
I
You
know.
know, I know
No,
you
but
know.
your front end is more like questions and research and contacting people, so you're the front sales guy and I'm kind of like the finance guy, kind of putting the numbers together.
Right. Fair enough. Fair enough. But
It's a team
either way,
effort. Without two
yes, either
legs, you're just hopping
way.
along.
It just happened. Anyways, I want you to know how much I appreciate everything you do because I do. And like I said, I got this package here with a couple goodies in it, including that program. And hopefully I'll get sent out to you this week. So,
Well, I'm out of town, so
yeah.
I'll have something to look forward to when I get back.
When you get back, yeah. You got it. You got it, buddy. So again, thank you very much. And as always, everybody, you can reach us at our Facebook page, Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. You can email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. No, I'm sorry. What is it? Yeah, gmail.com. Right. And then find us on Twitter at Two Legs Podcast. And everybody, thank you so much for again tuning in. Can't wait to see you guys on the fourth season. So, as usual, everybody, have a great day and a beautiful night.